May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be ever acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer.
Amen.
So in Advent, we usually focus our attention on Mary. And perhaps rightly so, she did bear the Son of God. But she's not the only person in the story of Emmanuel, in the story of God coming to dwell amongst us. And today, in our gospel, we hear Joseph's side of that story, which we often overlook, which I think is also a real shame, because Joseph is just as important to Emmanuel, to God coming to dwell amongst us, as is Mary. And that might be a little bit of a controversial statement, so I'll say it again. Mary's assent, her yes to the angel Gabriel, her yes to bearing God, to bringing about Emmanuel, is absolutely necessary for God coming to dwell among us. But so too is Joseph's assent, his yes to bringing Mary into his household. That is also absolutely necessary to God coming to dwell amongst us. And what do I mean by that? Well, on one very literal sense, Joseph has the life of Mary in his hands, and by extension, the life of Jesus. We hear in the gospel passage that he originally planned to quietly dismiss Mary, so not to bring her to public disgrace. Well, it isn't actually public disgrace, it's public death. According to the law of Moses in Deuteronomy, it is his obligation to take Mary and have her publicly stoned to death because she's conceived with somebody else. By breaking off the engagement and quietly dismissing her, Joseph is freeing himself from that obligation of having her stoned to death. But just because he does that doesn't mean that, in any sense, Mary is safe. There are perhaps at least two other laws in the Torah that would mandate Mary's death because she's conceived out of wedlock. So just because Joseph isn't going to be the one to stone her to death doesn't mean that Mary is off scot-free. She is very possibly going to be killed, and with her, the life of Christ within her. But let's imagine, just for an instance, that Joseph does dismiss Mary, and by some miracle, she's not stoned to death by one of the other men in the town. Her life is going to be radically different from the one we know about. On the very first hand, she's had a child. She's no longer considered to be a virgin, therefore she's no longer eligible to be married to anyone, except possibly the man who gave birth or, knocked her up. So, but if she's off the table as a marriable person, she no longer has any stability or security. As an unwed mother, her social standing drops to the very basement of Galilean culture. She no longer has a household of any respectability. And all of the benefits that Jesus had by coming into Joseph's household are now lost to him. He doesn't have that respectability, he doesn't have the prosperity of Joseph, and he probably won't receive the same education that he would have received being in Joseph's household. He probably would not have become a rabbi. And if Jesus doesn't become a rabbi, I don't see how it's possible for him to become the preacher and teacher and leader of multitudes that he does become on his way of fulfilling his role as Messiah. So Joseph, by bringing Mary into his household, makes possible the story of Emmanuel that we know. If Joseph had not brought Mary in, none of us would probably be sitting here today in the way that we are. So if there's a lesson from today's gospel, I want it to be that Emmanuel, God coming to dwell amongst us, is not just on Mary's shoulders. It is on her shoulders, but it's also on Joseph's shoulders. And if you stop to think about it for just 1 second, you'll realize that there are actually a whole host of other people at critical moments throughout the Gospels who also had to say yes to the presence of God before them. Yes to Emmanuel, for the entire story to progress. And just a couple of examples off the top of my head. John the Baptist. When Jesus came to John the Baptist to be baptized, John had to recognize God standing before him. And he had to not just recognize, but accept and acknowledge Jesus and say yes. And he told his disciples, I am not the Messiah, but this man, this is the man whom you've been waiting for. Go and follow him. John had to, in some ways, release his disciples to become Jesus' disciples. And Jesus' disciples, we hear throughout the Gospels, time and time again, were called away from spouses, away from children, away from homes and careers, all to follow Jesus. They had to see that this man, it's more than a prophet, this man had the Spirit of God with him. They had to accept him and follow him wholly on the way. And after his bloody crucifixion and death, they also had to acknowledge the presence of the resurrected Christ in their midst. Time and time again, they had to reaffirm Emmanuel. God is still with us. In the midst of persecutions in the early church, Jesus' disciples affirmed Emmanuel time and time again. And if any of those people throughout the history of Jesus' life had said no and turned away God in their midst, I don't think that we would be here gathered this way on a Sunday morning. So, because I've mentioned us, I think it takes no small leap to realize that we too stand in that long line of people who are called to say yes to Emmanuel. Saying yes to God in front of us is not an easy task. It always comes with some sort of price. And in the gospel, we hear that Joseph is afraid to bring Mary into his household. Well, he has some things to be afraid about. Bringing Mary in was a risky proposition. It had a social price for him. On one hand, Mary's giving birth to someone who's not his own child. Filial relationships in the ancient world are incredibly important. So to bring Mary and her unborn child into his household is like bringing a traitor in, someone who has no affiliation with you. And of course, there's also gossip. People will be talking behind Joseph's back, right? That he's brought in a trollop, someone who got knocked up. What does that say about Joseph? There's a very real possibility that his social standing will fall a bit. There's a price to be paid to bringing Mary into his household. There was a price for John the Baptist to acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah rather than himself, rather than his own message about the coming of the kingdom. He gave over all the attention to this man who came after him. And again, the early disciples of Jesus faced persecution, they faced death and martyrdom, they faced the loss of property, of life, of relationships, all to follow Jesus and to acclaim him, Emmanuel, God with us. There is a price to acknowledging God in our presence. There are two examples for us today that I think come to my mind. One is a global example and one is a more local example. So globally, how many of us have heard in this past year of the atrocities coming out of Syria, especially Aleppo? And how many times over this past year have Western nations closed their borders to Syrian refugees, effectively saying, no, you cannot come in? If they had said yes, there would have been a price to be paid, certainly a political price. Politicians are very wary of accepting outsiders. There was a real financial price of supporting refugee populations. And quite falsely, there may have been a price in safety because refugees are dangerous people, at least so they're claimed to be. There would have been a price of opening our borders, of opening the Western world to a suffering people. And time and again, we've seen that the answer was not yes. Not yes that the suffering and vulnerable Spirit of God that we see in these populations can come and be embraced by us, but rather the answer has been no. Second example. I know a couple of people who are struggling with drug addiction here on Cape Cod. People who struggle with drug addiction also bear with them a certain price. It costs something to embrace them, to welcome them into your household. Drug addicts are sometimes difficult to embrace because there's a real emotional cost, a real emotional pain of opening your hearts to someone who is in the power of heroin. And yet, people who are struggling with addiction desperately need structure and support. They desperately need a home to come into. And you very well may know someone, either in your family or a friend, who is struggling with drug addiction or an addiction of any kind. And it might be a price. There might be a social price. Certainly there is. Even today, social stigma about acknowledging addiction and claiming it and saying, yes, it's in my own household. But nevertheless, there is an opportunity to acknowledge grave need and our responsibility to reach out and say yes, that those who are hungry, that those who are naked, that those who are in prison, that those who need shelter, that those who need compassion and love, that is where God is. And it is our responsibility, our call, to say yes to the presence of God when we see it. Now, I believe 2017 is going to be an interesting year in our history, certainly. But a year that really bears this out. I'm going to invite all of us into a period of discernment. Because in this next year, we are really going to see ways in which people are vulnerable. People are in need of love. And that is where God is. Our call is to say yes, to open our hearts as a mansion for God, to welcome in vulnerable populations, vulnerable people, even if there is a price. And we know what that price is if we do our discernment work. If we do not, if we turn our back on God, where does the story go? The story of Emmanuel, that we are a part of this very day. How does the gospel end if we cannot say yes to the presence of God right in front of us?